Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Charlie Boy Lamar today. She is not in, so, hey, take care of yourself, Charlie, First Lady of the Covenant Cafe.
Yes.
Yo, so before we get into what we're going to get into, let's go ahead and open up that with a word.
Let's get it. Let's get it. All right, so our word today, it comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, and basically we're going to hop into two different scriptures, but they just to bring together a point that I really want to make very clear to everyone out there. So in the script, the first scripture we're going to tackle is the first verse, in Jeremiah 1, you have verses 4 through 7, which basically says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me," this is Jeremiah talking, "saying, before I was formed," this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, "before I was formed, you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said," Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say that I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever..."
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, that was Byron Cage, Troubles Away, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. So we were actually talking about Jeremiah. Can we go back over that?
Yes, let's get back into it. So we are reading from Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, and just real quick to go back over it. Scripture says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said," this is Jeremiah talking, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." Now, this is why I want you guys to focus in and hone in on verse 17, which says, "Therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you." I want to give you one more translation, give you another translation on it, just so you can hear how important this is before I say exactly what the Lord had blew my mind with. In verse 17 in the New Living Translation, it exactly reads, it says, "Get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them." That blew my mind just as far as when you really pay attention to details. Like Jeremiah chapter 1 is a very encouraging scripture among a lot of people in the body as far as, you know, God knew us before the earth was created. Also, it's amazing how it doesn't matter your age, your time.
"I need you to hide me under the shadow of your wings. God, please protect me, for the enemy's trying to move in. My heart is aching, this is taking all of my strength, so I need for you to step in and hide me under the shadow of your wings.
for being there.
And God, please protect me, for the enemy's trying to move in.
That's why I just need you.
My heart is aching, this is taking all of my strength, so I need for you to step in. Hide me.
Thank you, God.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. We would like to apologize for the technical difficulties. The devil is very busy today, and the devil is alive.
He is that.
Yeah.
He is that.
So we were going through Jeremiah. I think Jeremiah is causing us a problem today.
That's the thing, man. You can't shut the fire up, so we're going to get back to it. Anyway, like I was saying, as I was in mid-speech, the scripture that we just followed off of was 17 in the New Living Translation, which literally says, get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them. So like I said, this is a scripture that a lot of us in the body, we know to be encouraging, to be strengthening us, letting us know that God knew us even when we were in our mother's belly. He had ordained our future. He'd already guided things and put a strategy into motion. He already knew what he wanted from us. A lot of us use that as an encouragement, and it's a beautiful thing. But the thing that really blew my mind, and I thought,
I need you to hide me under the shadow of your wings. God, please protect me, for the enemy's trying to move in. My heart is aching, this is taking all of my strength, so I need for you. And hide me under the shadow of your wings. And hide me under the shadow of your wings. I need you to hide me under the shadow.
Yes, and welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. Once again, we'd like to apologize for the technical difficulties. We're going to try this again.
Yes, let's try this again. All right, here we are. We're back here. We're in Jeremiah 1, and basically in the scripture, like I keep saying, that this one of the most important things that we see in this chapter, that a lot of us in the body that we take from it, is the encouraging point that it doesn't matter of your age or your size or your color or where you're from. It's that you knew God. God knows you. He knew you while you were in your mother's womb, and he is very capable of using you to do great things, and great things may not be what you measured up to be, but God can have his way with you. This is what really blew my mind. In the New Living Translation, verse 17, it reads, "Get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them." The thing that really blew my mind was the latter half of that verse when he says, "Not be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them." This is God talking to Jeremiah. So this opens my mind up to everything that I do for God, that God tells me to do it with an extreme passion, with extreme confidence, with extreme joy, with extreme just giving my all to the Lord. Because in some sense, like, why would you do something half-step? Like, can you imagine thinking about, like, say you play football. You play football. I told you to play football. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to play football. And then when you get on the field, you're not confident whatsoever. So instead of you being successful, even though this is something God has called you to do on the football field, because you are scary, not giving your all, you're holding back, you get blown away. The opposing team runs you over, tramples you, knocks you down, and you look foolish unto all, especially the ones that you're representing, your team, the uniform that you're wearing. So this is the same thing that we take into consideration for the church. So I'm speaking to all gospel artists, all gospel ministers, anybody that is carrying this heavy load of the gospel, that if you're going to do it, seriously do it. Like, I really cannot stand when people, yeah, God called me, but your music is not mixed or mastered at all. You just threw something together. Or your posters, you didn't take time to get the proper posters, the proper paintings. Or when you do a sermon, you didn't even do your research. You didn't even check the theology behind it. You used no dictionary, no strong concordance. You didn't do anything. Or you're going before us to minister to people, and you don't care about your appearance, or you don't care of how you're covering yourself, or even so you're on a job and you're claiming to be, you say you're a Christian, but you're cursing people out. You are looking foolish unto others, and you are not representing the uniform that God has given you to wear. So that's how serious this thing is when you're to do something, when God has called you to do something and you have elected or you have chosen to do it, or you have agreed to it. Because we see Jeremiah in this chapter, as time progresses, he's not speaking up no more like, oh, I'm too young to do this. He says that one time and then it's cut. From there on out, as God is pouring into him and telling him what time it is, we don't see no rebuttals from Jeremiah. Therefore, as even in the going of the chapter, we have no choice but to see that Jeremiah went ahead and accepted his role as being called a prophet on God's behalf to be the mouthpiece of God in the earth. So we see that he accepted it. So that same thing with people. When you accept your calling or your purpose in God and you're walking in it, do not half step. Give your all, because you do look foolish, and you cannot go back to saying, well, you know, God called me to do this, and letting that be your cop-out. Yeah, God called me. Well, if God called you, then why did you half step? Why does your stuff, your work, your thing that you're promoting in the kingdom looks like trash? It's very important that we give our all. And I'm not even speaking from a standpoint like, oh, I've hit perfection. Because even if you were to follow my growth in my career, you see that I came out and had videos. And now my video now compared to my videos then, they're on two different levels, to the point where I took down my old stuff because everything, I'm growing in God. Now, I'm not saying that you got to have top-notch everything you do. But what I am saying is that you give your best. And there are sometimes that we have to know that, okay, my best is not ready for the public yet. Let me grow more before I put myself out there. There are times that we have to shut up. We have to stand back, that we have to allow God to work on us behind closed doors before we put ourselves out in the public. I mean, it's a growth thing. So I'm just saying all this to say that give your best. Give your best in everything. Do not half step. Do not cop out and say, well, no, this is the Lord's work, or God called me. That's a cop out. That's a cop out. Give your best. Give your best. If you give your best on your resumes, you give your best with grades, or you give your best making sure you have the best outfits for yourself, et cetera, you can exceed that in working for God. Do not half step. And really ask God, is this pleasing unto you? Look at it with your own eyes. Is this acceptable? If you were to see somebody else push it, would you gravitate towards it because of its appearance, because of its quality? Not just quantity, but it's quality. Uh-huh. Is it what's up? So that's the encouragement from the scripture that I'm hoping that you guys take. Like, let's not make ourselves look foolish. Let's give our best. If you're giving your best in athletics, we have to give our best. And if we don't give our best, the opposing team will trample us. Likewise here in the kingdom. The enemy, we have an adversary that's like a roaring lion that's looking to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you don't have your armor on, if you're not strapped, if you're not giving your best, if you're not passionate about God, if you are serving or working for a God that you don't know, nor do you truly like or love, then how do you see yourself being successful? That's what it is.
That's what it is. And people have been saying, and here's a segue to what I want to talk about. As people have been saying, a lot of foolish things lately.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Clippers owner, David Sterling, have you heard about what's going on with that?
I definitely have.
I'm going to read the story. We're going to discuss it. The Los Angeles Clipper owner, Donald Sterling, told his girlfriend that he doesn't want her to bring black people to his games or post pictures with black people on Instagram. Now, he also said, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating black people. I need not to go for just that right there. It's saying a lot of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's powerful. You own... And I'm not trying to sound you own a basketball team,
mm-hmm.
which is dominated by black people,
mm-hmm.
and you make these type of statements.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty interesting because that's just a flat out racist,
mm-hmm.
because of the simple fact that people say, well, he got a black basketball team because it's all about business.
Correct.
There is all about business. At the end of the day, that's what he is.
Yeah.
And there was a post I read on Facebook, of course, everyone's talking about it, and they had a post up, and it's a white female stated that I just don't understand how people could take a stand about when some people are racist towards one set of people and not others.
Mm-hmm.
And she went on to say that, to talk about how come they have all black colleges and not all white colleges. So my reply was, there are all white universities.
Yeah.
And I stated that you can, and she said, made a statement that how come she can't go to an all-black college. I said,
she can.
You can. Sorry. It's called the Minority Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to any black college or university and apply as a minority because you are a minority in that school. I never received a response. But, I mean, I understand what she's saying, how come it all gets blown out when it's black and white. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you're saying, how come it's all black universities and not all white universities. I had to correct that.
Right.
There are very prestigious all white universities.
Right.
And I know it's not, okay, and I didn't say this in that statement, but I know it's not advertised as such. Come to a black, because like if you say a black college, you say go to a historical black, you know.
Yeah, HBCU, right.
It's not advertised as a historically white university, but you know what it is.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
You
take Harvard. That's historically a white university. Yes, the black people attend the university with through minority scholarships, but it is what it is.
Yeah. My thing is too with a lot of people is that I don't think we think before we speak. I think we react off of emotion, or we don't even do enough research. So even on like a response with her, well, why did we have to have HBCUs? Because she called it a black school when it's really called a HBCU, historical black college or university.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, why do we have that? We had that because we were not getting accepted into white schools, period, into colleges, period. We weren't getting in. So in order for us to get an education, we started on. We had to do it. So with that being said, when I say we, I'm talking about the African-American ethnic background in America, in the United States of America. So with that being said, if she's going to bring something like that, she needs to bring everything to the table before she speaks. I mean, that's just big. And that goes for all of us as far as the information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then on top of that, you hit it on the head. I mean, there's no point in saying historical white college when these colleges have been around. They are the colleges. They were the only colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So black colleges, what she called black colleges, they came up so we can get an education. And I know people, I know white people that went to Cookman, FAMU, that went to, like I'm talking about at Howard. I mean, I really know white people that went to these schools, and they got accepted easily. So it's like, that's just a whole other topic. You know, like I said, I feel like the issue in that area was more of not thinking before we speak, and also the lack of knowledge. You know, my people perish because they lack knowledge. No kind of information she studied. As far as dealing with Donald Sterling too, I'm kind of tossed between the two. On one end, I mean, it's like modern-day slavery for his mindset as far as, you know, how somebody could say, because I heard somebody say the same thing. Like, I think he was just fed up. He was just saying his feelings. How could he really hate black people when he owns a predominantly black team? Well, slavery, you know, in the slavery days, you had a white slave master who owned an all-black field of slaves who worked for him, who fixed his field, who built his house, who did all kind of work. That doesn't mean it's love, like you said. It's business. It's all business. I listened to the tape, and my thing was, I mean, it's clear she set him up. You know, she did what she had. She did what she felt she had to do. And one question I do want to throw out there, and me being black, I feel like I can say it. I can ask it. The question is, taking out Christianity, take aside Christianity and morals, as far as morals and Christianity being saying, like, we're supposed to love one another, we're not supposed to be racist, we're supposed to be there for one another. If you set that aside, because you can have an atheist who will want to join this conversation, if you set that aside, is he wrong for having personal feelings towards a race, having his own personal feelings that in some degrees does not affect how he does business or his relationships as far as personal relationships, like he doesn't own any slaves, quote-unquote. Is he wrong for having personal feelings?
In that aspect, no. That's his personal feeling.
But
on the other hand, publicly making that statement is a double-edged sword. He cannot make that statement public.
Correct.
Certain things you can make public, certain things you can't.
Right.
And that's just what it is. At the end of the day, you can have whoever you want to have in your house. Only Latinos, only Puerto Ricans, only Mexicans, only Asian people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way you carry yourself.
Right.
If you only want, I'm going to tell you right now, I work on an alternative school. There's a kid that's black and won't hang around black people, and he don't like when he say here hear a kid rapping and stuff. He'll say, "Can you please tell him to stop rapping that black music?" And he's black himself. You see what I do? So you're entitled to who you want to hang around with, but it's how you handle it. As a professional, especially as a professional, you can't say those things and run an organization.
Right.
You can't say those things publicly.
Right.
And, you know, and the Clippers, you know, they show, you know, their unity by flipping their jersey inside out and things of that nature. But someone else made a statement stating that if they was really trying to make a statement, they wouldn't have even showed up to the game. They could have came to the not even came out the locker room. Well, maybe for a quarter or something like that, just if they're trying to take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, you taking a stand. What is your stand?
What is your stand?
This is what he feels. He didn't do anything wrong as far as making someone do something extra because they're black. He didn't hit them because they're black. He didn't do any of that. But the statement.
Right. And this is my thing. Now, I don't agree one bit with, you know, racism, or do I commend it or anything in that nature. But, you know, we play the devil advocate. And the thing is, this was a personal phone call between him and his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That his girlfriend secretly recorded, and he's saying what he said. And in his mind, he's saying all this out of comfort, not comfort like, I'm glad we can share this and I want to talk about this, about how I hate blacks and you doing what you do, but the comfort like, this is a secure line, I don't have to worry about the press, I'm putting it all out there. No one will know about this but me and you. Mm-hmm. That's the whole intent of him sharing that information. And I guess the thing that kind of blows my mind a little bit, and it's not a lot because it's not really a big deal to me, but the fact is, you know, I mean, a lot of people are angry by him being racist, which is cool. Racism is alive, and I understand that. But the thing is, you know, how people are saying, you know, we got to take a stance, we got to do this, we got to do that. But it's not that he openly stated this to the press, that I hate blacks, but I own this team and I'm going to use them. It's not like it was an open hate crime statement that he made. So my thing is now it's like, okay, what the anger? Where's all the anger coming from? Or where are we trying to prove by missing a whole game, by telling our black players and white players for the Clippers, don't play no more. Don't play the whole first game, or don't miss the first quarter, or don't show up. Like, what would the statement be? Get rid of this. I mean, it's clear that we want to get rid of them now. Everybody wants them out. But still, my thing is, okay, the statement, where's everybody's emotions? What's really gearing this up?
Or even if he said a public statement that, if that was public, or if he said a public statement stating that, okay, these N-words are getting on my nerves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And public, like, or was it Don Imus when he made a comment about the female basketball team called them nappy-headed hoes?
Oh man! Now that right there, that is like a whole different level than a racist owning the team.
But that's what I'm saying. It's two different.
Yes.
He was on the radio publicly, making these type of comments, slamming black females.
Right.
That's completely wrong.
Right.
If you feel like that behind your closed doors, okay. Is that okay? But you're not harming nobody.
Yes. Right, right.
And I'm also with you on the fact that it was a private conversation. That's like me and you talking about, yo, man, this female came up to us when we was on a live broadcast, mm-hmm. and I was loving her. I, when I saw her, I just wanted to get with her. This, that,
right.
and her, and you recorded it, and then you released it.
Right.
then I get, my wife get upset, like, why are you just talking like that? You know what I mean? But that was supposed,
right.
to, that was supposed to be between you and I, and now it's out. Now,
yeah.
everybody want me to be out of my relationship because now they think I'm a dog, a heathen,
right.
or whatever, you know.
Right.
So, it's a double-edged sword. I think,
yeah.
I really think the one thing that the female that I was was chatting with on the Facebook about the statement that she made is the very important statement that she made was it's only an issue when it's a black and white statement. If it was made in regards to someone else, it wouldn't have happened.
That's tough. I mean, if you think about it, though, here in this country, it's always been a black and white thing, if that's
mm-hmm.
the case. That's been the thing, black and white. That's been the thing. I mean, that's predominant. Just like if I were to go to Bulgaria, which is predominantly Bulgarian, which is predominantly their tone, it's not – America is a melting pot. That is predominantly – you know, you have your black and white. That's the thing. And then in other countries, you know, you got all Slovenian or you have all Russian, like they're predominant. So it'll be a Russian thing. So here, I mean, that is what it is. It's stuff that's lingering. That's why I was like, when I asked, okay, well, what is the statement here? What really is the statement that needs to be made? Are we at war against racism? Are we at war against people's personal feelings? Are we still hurt about the Zimmerman trial? Because Zimmerman, in black people's eyes, Zimmerman was a white guy, when truthfully that wasn't his ethnic background. And then
yeah.
we had the Jordan and Michael Dunn case, which fueled even more. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a black-white thing, and that's why my thing is that, okay, but what are we angry about in this situation? Is it the statement or is it his personal feelings that we want to change?
Mm-hmm.
What's really good? But to bring it home with the Christianity, you know I got to keep it Christian. What happens in the dark comes to light. That thing that was in his heart has been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we make a decision how we move from here. And I think that's a lot of pressure on the Detroit – on not Detroit, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep thinking about the Pistons. Yeah, I don't know why, Lamont. I don't know why. But that's a lot of pressure on the L.A. Clippers organization as well as the NBA as far as, okay, what do we do? If we keep him, we might get a outroar from our fan base.
Mm-hmm.
We might have a problem here. Do we let him go? Or how do we get rid of somebody that paid money to own the team? How do you go about this? My question truly is, what are we exactly mad about before we handle so we can handle this appropriately? Because are we mad about his personal feelings? Because this wasn't an open statement. Like he went to the press and said, I just can't stand these N-words, these nappy-headed N-words. Like it's not like he did that and we have to get rid of him. It's more of a personal thing that got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some hate that we see in his heart, yes, and it's wrong. But how do you handle this appropriately? Do you take away somebody's position or rebuke somebody because of their personal feelings? How do we handle this appropriately without there being a stereotypical bias?
Mm. I in the long run, because it's going to affect them, I think people will stop supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsorships will get pulled because of his image.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a private call, but it's a public situation now.
Mm-hmm.
Did she intend on exposing him because of the personal feelings that they had with one another? You know what I mean? What was
right.
the reason for the exposure? It's like, okay, I already know how you feel about us, and I'm tired of this relationship. And I don't, is he, holding her back financially. Like, okay, she don't want to leave him because of the financial bond, because if she mm-hmm. leaves him, she's not going to be with someone with all this money.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's going to leave, she's going to leave on her own terms and destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not going to have nothing, you're not going to have nothing.
Yeah.
And people are fine with that. Okay, you're not flourishing no more. Your image is tarnished. For the rest of your life, your image is tarnished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's going to end up getting with another guy with money, but at the same time, that dude's image is done.
Yeah.
So yeah. One way I can get back at you, if I'm not going to have you a part of your money anymore,
mm-hmm.
destroy you.
Yeah.
And that's what she said.
And it's real. Like, when you lay the evidence out, you lay everything out there, I find it to be really interesting, because from the phone conversation, he and both of them made it known, like, when we got into this, I already told you how I feel about them. And her thing is, well, I told you, you already knew that I'm mixed, Mexican and black. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I told you, and you were supposed to do this, the persona of a white girl or an Italian. So there were a lot of agreements in the motion now. So it's like you said, too, there is a lot of motive behind her exposing him.
But also, if you want to take it back to slavery times,
mm-hmm.
you know, the white men made out with the black women.
Correct. Yeah, so look at that. There you go.
So in his eyes, by him being racist, it's still like, look, I do what I want to do with you and your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why he's with her, because, like, I can get anybody I want to, because
mm-hmm.
I got money.
Because I got money.
And you're going to do what I want you to do, because I got money. It's an interesting situation, yes, what is your motive? Everybody knew about how they felt about each other before they got with each other, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, I think what she did is wrong, and what he said was wrong. But at the same time, I can't say what he said was wrong, because it was taped.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like I said, the Don Imus situation. He's on the radio saying, these Clippers, I'm tired of these black guys losing these games. We in the playoffs. They don't need to be losing to them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit different, but bringing everything in perspective, it was a tape conversation. It's not like it was a drug deal that was supposed to be wiretapped and nothing like that. He was just like,
right.
In his house, like, you know, why are you bringing in all these black guys to my house? I don't want these black guys in my house.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a right to say that? That is your house, yes. But on the other hand, because of who he is, he's had situations before, apparently. You know, I just think and when it's all said and done, that's his house. It comes back to it being his house.
Yeah.
And the thing was taped. Yes, we were hurt by what he said. Yeah, you're going to be hurt. Like, oh, dang, really? You feel that way? But, you know.
Yeah.
If I say something about Lecrae. I mean, I like Lecrae. I like his music.
Mm-hmm.
I like his style.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you and I are having a conversation. Like, so what do you really think about Lecrae? Man, I think he really whack, man. I really think his music is horrible.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we had a big interview with him. Like, yeah, you had a great, you know, I really like your music. And then all of a sudden somebody played that conversation after our great interview. I'm like, yeah, Lecrae suck.
Yeah.
You know, Lecrae would be like, okay, this dude just saying how much he loved me, and all of a sudden you saying I suck? I mean, like, what happened?
Right.
Yeah, so I hope this situation gets settled fast. like I said, they did their demonstration about, you know, having a their shirts inside the jersey, inside out and stuff like that. And that's what they're going to do. So I don't know what they're going to do after that. But what we're going to do is get to another song. I'm tossed and torn between these two songs because I love my segues.
Mm.
I want perfect people or positive. What do you want? Which one? Perfect people or positive? I'm torn.
Let's go positive because perfect people, yes, that's kind of, let's go positive.
Let's go positive. Ladies and gentlemen, here at the Covenant Cafe, we talking about stuff that on the edge stuff about what this guy is talking about. And we'll come back, and I think Deacon has something to say about this. We're going to bring him in early. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. It's going to get raw, baby.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together on this one like this. We just want you to keep smiling out there. Keep a happy face. Stay positive in the midst of your tests and your trials. Let's take it, y'all.
Sometimes life can make you feel low.
You need some direction. You need to know where to go. Come on.
Direction.
Uh-huh. Next part, just when you, come on.
Just when you feel alone.
Just when you feel like giving up. Just when you feel like thrown in the towel. God's presence.
We're not on our
own. You ain't on your own. Come on, stay positive.
Stay positive.
Yeah. Ready to answer.
Waiting to answer your call.
So turn.
Turn your frown into a smile.
Know what, y'all, after a while, it's gonna be all over.
It will be all right.
Just keep a smile and
stay positive.
Let's take it to the drive, y'all. Come on. Be strong.
Be strong.
And stay positive.
Stay positive.
Yeah. Come on, next part, y'all. Sing it right here.
Hold on.
And stay positive.
And stay positive.
We don't need y'all to groan. Come on. Singing that song of happiness. Sing this song right here. And stay positive.
Stay positive.
Let's switch it up a little bit for them, y'all. Harmony right here. Be strong.
Be strong.
I need you to put your fists up and stay positive.
Stay positive.
Come on, y'all.
What? Hold on.
And stay positive.
And stay positive.
Now don't groan. Put a smile on your face.
Don't groan.
Stay positive.
Covenant Cafe. This is Deacon. How are you doing there, Lace?
I'm doing well, man. What's good with you? How you doing?
I am not doing so well, but actually I am doing...
Why aren't you doing well?
Well, I was going to say I wasn't doing well, but I am not going to complain. I'm going to stay positive. Amen, amen. So, you know, I have to say something about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is this. You guys touched on a lot of things, amen? Mm-hmm. But James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other, and for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Amen? So in this situation, this guy, he confessed his sins with his mate. Amen? Of how he really felt about the black race. Amen? And then what we need to do is pray for him.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Because prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. As a man is confessing to his significant other, it now is known all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So he has been broken down into a pebble where he actually felt like he was a boulder. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So now both sides have been examined, and bottom line is he needs prayer, because prayer is effective and powerful. See, sometimes God will humble us in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
God will humble us where it counts the most. In his situation, if he had a house fire, that wouldn't have bothered him because he has money to purchase another house.
Mm-hmm.
If he lost a car, it wouldn't bother him because he has money. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
If he just lost his job, he's a business owner. He can get another business. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened here, The boulder has broken down into little pebbles because now he's exposed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be so easy for him to own another business,
mm-hmm.
get sponsorship, and have people support what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has to be humbled. He has to humble himself before the Lord. Because the Lord will take the high and mighty and bring them down to the regular level of everyone else. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this is how we know God loves us. This is a way for us to have a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go so far in your journey and your dream, and all of a sudden, going up that ladder, you have been praying and praying and praying for that position to happen, and you get there, and now all of a sudden you forget who got you there.
Mm, truth.
And God said, hey, I need you to wake up. There have been many situations in this man's life where he will not wake up, sort of like the Scrooge. There were many situations for him to wake up until there's a reality that settled in.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it happened by deception, but it happened. Now he has to find a way to deal with his situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We pray for that job. We pray for that car, that house. Once we get that house or that car, we forget who we prayed for to get that car. We forget who we prayed for to get that job, mm-hmm. or that significant someone, or that simple DVD that you've been saving your money for that you didn't have money to get it before. You forgot mm-hmm. who you were praying to get these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like if you get a DVD player from the store
mm-hmm.
and you crack open the DVD player, the first thing you do, actually before you get there, you pray to God, I really want this. I hope they got it. It's supposed to be the hottest item, the ticket item. I hope they have it. They have it. And then you get it home, and then you crack it open. And the first thing that you need to operate that DVD player is your instructions.
Mm-hmm.
You throw that to a side, and you try to fill it to get it to work the correct way. You forgot what needs to be read in order to get that
mm-hmm.
properly. You need those instructions to say, hey, you press this button to eject. Hey, you press this button to hook it up to your television. You take this cord to put it to your Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
You did not read those instructions. And the Bible is sort of like those instructions. The Bible clearly states the basic instructions mm-hmm. before leaving Earth. And we read those instructions in a time of need. Your mom and your brother is sick, grabbing the Bible, reading verse after verse, praying for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that person gets healed, and you forget those instructions. This person now that is healed, he's running, he's playing basketball. He's playing video games and no longer got those instructions that you were reading to get him better.
Mm-hmm.
So God has humbled this man, and maybe he will understand power.
Mm.
God is a very jealous, our God is a very jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him. And there's a song, I know I shouldn't relate it to this. It's, they say, turn up for what?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I turn up for God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You want to know why I turn up for what? I turn up for God, for Jesus Christ,
yes.
our Lord and Savior. I will be back later with the useless facts, but I will be back. Whoa.
That was the realest thing I've ever heard him say, and that was the longest that he's talked that I didn't mind him talking so long. So, shout out to Deke for finally doing something right. Uh-oh, did I say that publicly? Oh, man.
what I caught from that, I love the analogy of him being broken down.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
And he went to James. You know, and when he went to James, He talked about the power of prayer,
mm-hmm.
how it's powerful and effective. And the way that the verse started off is he talked about confessing your sins.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was really confessing to a tape recorder that he didn't really know that he was being taped.
Right.
Wow, he stepped out there on that one.
And I love the fact that he just said pray for him. Pray for him. That's what we need to do. And that's ultimately like one of the best things to tell people to do in this day and age. Like when there's so much negative stuff going on, and what we do is what we pour into it. And it's like with any fire, when you throw gasoline in, all it's going to do is cause the fire to expand. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a point in time where we bring God into this. How would Jesus do it? You know, and the thing that was amazing to me about Jesus is that on his way to the cross, it was still orchestrating the love of God. Even on the cross, he literally said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't on the cross cursing them. Like, you're going to go to hell for that, and you're going to this, and I can't wait to see you in hell, and you evil people, you awful. Why would you do this to me? I'm innocent. Like, it was none of that. It was, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy on them. Love. Keep them. My blood is going to cover them. I take this. So it's like to think that, you know what, can we do that? Every day we get put on the cross, can we say, God, forgive him? Because he doesn't know any better. Because if he had a relationship with you, Lord, that wouldn't be in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So God, I ask that he has time to get right with you so he can be with you.
I have a question. Now, what if this guy doesn't, okay, I'm quite sure he knows how to express himself. He's a business owner. Okay. Now, what if he really wanted to say, just don't bring those guys to the ball game?
Yeah.
Because if you make a statement like, if these particular white guys come to your house every time and they're tearing up your stuff, and like, hey, I don't know their name, but the white guy, please do not bring that white guy back to my house.
Yeah.
And this particular white guy have tore up my VCR, tore up my Xbox 360, my Xbox One, my PlayStation 4, and I'm angry. Do not bring that white guy back to my house anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Could he possibly have said that?
But the issue is he didn't. We know he didn't because of how he continued on. Like, this the whole rant of the whole conversation, I listened to the talk, and he ranted. Like, it was just on and on.
Okay.
You know, don't post pictures on Instagram about you and blacks. Don't bring them to my gym. Don't, you know, don't broadcast that you are affiliated with blacks.
Okay, well, I can't. I try to play devil's advocate, but I guess
you can. I understand.
It's just not gonna work.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. You try though. You know, you try.
Okay. But on another note, I know we talked about this. We definitely addressed that. But bottom line is, he needs prayer. So that's the end. All that was the end. All end to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess.
So we're going to get into some more interesting news than what we've been talking about. I read a story, and this is pretty interesting. Woman stops alleged bank robber by crashing into a getaway car.
Hmm.
Check this out. A 50-year-old cancer patient helped stop a fleeing bank robber by ramming her pickup truck into the suspect's getaway car. The parking lot collision between Tina's Chevy S10 and alleged thief Lexus SUV badly damaged the front wheel of the suspect's vehicle on Thursday morning. Lasowski drove away from the PNC Bank in Warrington, Pennsylvania, but had to abandon the broken auto about a quarter mile from the heist, according to Fox 43. I thought I can't stop him in any other way. I might as well hit him. She was outside the bank when a shaken up teller told her that they had been robbed. I saw an opportunity that I could stop a criminal from getting away with it. She was recently diagnosed with colon cancer. She did not plan on driving her 1995 Chevy pickup anymore. So police arrested the guy soon afterwards. They credit her from catching this guy, but they also discouraged civilians from putting themselves in harm's way. The suspect actually allegedly confessed to three other bank holdups in Pennsylvania in February and March. His bail was set for $500,000.
Oof.
$500,000. My thing, she was brave.
Yeah.
Because what if it, like, you hit the car and he just got out and started shooting?
Yeah, right.
You know, that would have been a good look. But at the same time, you know, she played superhero for the day, and she called her a bank robber.
And it goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, man. If you're going to do it. Do it right. Be passionate about it. Go all in. Could you imagine if she, like, chickened up on the way to doing it? She gets ready to hit him, and she decides not to, and just turns slightly and runs into a building, or, you know, just something stupid happened, or she just, give up, and slam on the brakes really, really hard and hurt herself, or, you know, just something foolish could have happened. You know, so that's my thing. Like, when we decide to do something courageous or heroic, or we just decided to go all out, I mean, we really got to go all out, because we leave too much room for error when we have stuff.
Now, I have two more stories. You ready for this?
Let's go.
The last one I'm going to save, you know what? Okay, I'm going to save the other one for last. Now, when I was growing up, I had several crushes on quite a few of my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Spanish teacher by the name of Miss Johnson, very, very fly. You know, I had a music teacher by the name of Miss Yorby, very fly.
Mm-hmm.
But however, nowadays these teachers are going bananas over these kids. Check this out. Teacher accused of giving students a birthday lap dance in class.
What?
Yes. All
right, go ahead.
Yes. A 42-year-old teacher performed a full contact lap dance on a middle school student in front of his Texas classmates. Felicia Smith was charged Thursday with having an improper relationship with a student because of her alleged 4-minute risque performance on a boy celebrating his 15th birthday in February. Risque performance, quote-unquote, lap dance.
Mm-hmm.
The teen told investigators that he sat in a chair next to Smith's desk and she moved back and forth on his crotch and touched them all over his body. Near the end of the dance, the student said, Smith sank into her knees and put her head between his legs.
Mm.
The incident reportedly happened in front of the other students during class. The student admitted that he spanked Smith's buttocks a couple of times.
Ugh.
As music played, Smith said, I love you, baby. Happy birthday, according to the boy's statement. P- Police claim that Smith said the students persuaded her to grind on the team. Smith was removed from teaching in the Adeline Independent School District while her case is pending, and she posted bail of $30,000.
What?
Okay. This is why I say God's not through on me yet. You know what I'm talking about? Now, okay, we're going to read into this. Number one, yes,
mm-hmm.
she's wrong. Yes, she is wrong. Yes, she is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what kid is telling on her, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do want to know who told. I do want to know who is telling, who title tell. Continue.
I mean, like, who was the person in the classroom? It was funny. He made a statement, and he said, you know, and he made statements, too, to the people, like, okay, this is what I did. Somebody told. Who told?
Yeah.
Who got me in the office telling about what this happened on my birthday?
Right.
Who was the one got me in the office telling about my birthday? You know what I'm saying? It's different
yeah.
if she said, I felt bad and I had to tell her, I had to tell her myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, okay, what did she do? She came to us, you know, she came to us and, you know, confidentiality and told on herself.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is what she did. Somebody else told. Now I'm in the office like, yo, man, this is what she did. No, that's that's a middle schooler's dream.
Every
teenager, whether you're female, the female had a crush on. As a matter of fact. When I was in middle school, the Clark sisters,
mm-hmm.
Twinkie Clark, her husband was one of my math teachers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the girls really had a crush on him because he had the thick mustache, the fade, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had a crush on the dude. Now, imagine what, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, the things that they were imagining, whatever. You know, for me, I had a crush on my music teacher and my Spanish teacher. Like, oh, look at this John. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know who told, but now her career is ruined.
Yeah.
Not to say that she should have done that. But yeah, I know we supposed to. This show is about integrity, but it's also our show is a real show.
Right.
At that age, who didn't have a crush on their teacher?
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have did that, like, oh my God, Sherry, she's really doing this. I'm not telling nobody. Me and my friends gonna talk about it, like, yo, guess what happened on my birthday?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my birthday landed in the summer, and it wouldn't have ever happened. But. Like, yo, this is what she did for my birthday when I came back. For real? Stop lying. Yeah, I'm serious. Smell my shirt. Smell just like her. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Wow.
That is, I'm not even tripping on him, you know, whatever happened. Because it could have been some girl that got a crush on him that told or whatever the case may be. Or somebody just in fear. I don't know. I mean, because this does not happen every day. So somebody out of just said it, you know, on some hype man probably. But my thing is this, her. I want what possesses you to you. She's 42. What possesses her to give a 15-year-old middle schooler a lap dance, an undeveloped young adult? Well, he's not even a young adult. He's just now understanding teenage years. He's not even full grown teen yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you are giving him a lap dance, and it's like, how far gone do you have to be? Like, you do it in front of other students in the hours of the day. So the principal could accidentally walk in your class, because principals used to do that when I was coming up. Walk in your class, other teachers, or, you know, they'll send another student, you know, hall pass. All kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
And, like, how bold. So I don't even think it's alleged anymore. They were doing something outside of that for her. Cause this could not have been the first time for her to be so bold with it.
Yeah, because apparently she wasn't nervous.
Right.
She was not nervous about this this dance. I mean, like, really.
That's crazy.
Huh?
And it's crazy because I remember my senior year of high school. I was nervous about getting a freshman's number in a high school freshman number because, we was all called, statutory rape or, she's too young for you. You know what I mean? Like, I had an age cutoff, an age limit cutoff. Like, all right, I hit 18, you have to be up there. You have to be in this vicinity with me because it's too dangerous. Too dangerous. And sheesh, I'm tripping.
Man, I'm just saying, what possessed you to do that for a student?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what possessed you to do that to a student and around other people?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately it could have been your word against this student's word. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I didn't do that. But everybody else was like, yo, yes, she did. I'm saying it because it didn't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I'm telling too. I won't want to. You know what I'm saying? That's what kids think about. Oh, you ain't do that for
me? Yeah, you ain't gonna do that for me too? All right. And they tell.
Okay. Now, here's another story. I got two more stories. Okay. This next one, we all remember the group Wu-Tang Clan. Now, this there's an offshoot group called Killer Bees.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended, but Andre Johnson, a member of the hip-hop group, was founded by, he was a member of the Wu-Tang Clan, was rushed to the hospital for cutting off his Johnson.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Andre Johnson cut off his Johnson.
Yes. February cut off his Johnson before jumping from the balcony of a two-story building.
Mm. That won't kill you.
He's really, and it says police are classifying these bizarre incident events as suicide attempts, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They were called to the apartment building in Northern Hollywood around 1 o'clock a.m. when they found Andre lying on the sidewalk in critical condition.
Mm.
Now, they were still unaware if they were able to reattach him. Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but if you feel that you failed at life, okay, and you could, I'm a failure. I'm a complete failure. I cut off my Johnson in an attempt to commit suicide. I jump out of the window and I land and I still am alive. So does that make me a failure at failing?
Mm.
Ultimately?
Mm.
I mean, like, that really has to be on your mind, like, after you come out of this. Like, my life sucks. I cut my joint off. I jump out of the window, and I still can't get rid of myself.
Mm.
Is God still working with this guy? I mean, like, that's a lot. That is a lot. Like, What type of mindset do you go through? Are you going through when you go through these situations?
That is tough, man. Wow.
I mean, wow. How do you feel? Like, okay, I tried to commit suicide and I failed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure, like, they have counselors for those type of guys who, like, try to go through these situations, can't do it. Like, I mean, that's, like, the ultimate comeback for those guys, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to die right now. This is proof.
Mm.
You know?
Man, that's tough, man. I see an article that said, it's not funny, but it is. This is something the media would eat up. So Andre Johnson is now just plain old Andre after doctors cannot reattach Johnson.
Absolutely.
Dang. Wow.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. Rough.
And the thing is, the thing that people don't really know is, like, this industry, the entertainment industry, the business itself, I mean, it pretty much, it does that to you. It does it to you in the sense of that if you don't have any kind of relationship with God or a strong foundation in Christ, you get lost. So can you imagine being an overnight sensation or even an over-a-year sensation or whatever, you being a part of one of the biggest groups to hit America, biggest rap groups to hit America at one point in time, like you were, quote-unquote, a god, lowercase g, god in America as far as the music industry goes. People want to be you. People want to do what you do, this and that. And then all of a sudden, you're not anymore. You're not a part of the what's hot. And what you do is nothing, just a fad. And no matter how hard you try to lower the pain, you can't find a way. You can't find any remedies for it. So then what do you turn to? You turn to drugs, and that's not working. And or you don't want to do drugs. And now you see that yourself, you're worth just nothing. So then you try to take your life. And then this is, it's crazy because this is so common in this industry. It's so common. It's so common. And I would think this would kind of, it would promote the promote more awareness of, we got to have a hope that's greater than us, that's outside of us, that will never change. You know, doing things for God is, like, eternal. It's crazy. I was talking to this one rapper. He's a secular rapper. And I was telling him, because, you know, he was, you know what I'm saying, whole money, cars, clothes kind of rap game. You know how that go. And I was telling him, I'm like, bro, that's not going to last you. You're not going to get anywhere by that. Like, just think about, if you look at the gospel industry, you know, your Yolanda Adams and your C.C. Winans and your Caesars. You got your gospel giants who've been in this for a long time, and they can do this for the rest of their life. They can sing, like Marvin Sapp. If he wanted to drop a project at 80 years old, I don't think anybody would be complaining, as long as he's still blowing good. But as soon as a rapper, he's 50 years old and he's still rapping, it's like, bro, he old. Bro, why are you still talking about the same old, same old? It's kind of like, you know, the transitions, like, God is about longevity, but in this rap game, like, how long do you think you can get away with promoting evil? But it's just interesting. His reception of it was more on a, man, so I'm evil because I ain't talking about Jesus. I said, bro, it's not that, but look what you promote. Would you want your daughter listening to your music? Of course, there was no response, but overall, just not even bringing any more about the conversation. That's the thing that I'm just seeing with this industry, that a lot of people they lose their lives to it in a literal sense and also metaphoric as far as their minds and their hope, because they put it all into something that's going to pass away or that's not even promoting life. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad, man. You know, it's like Deacon said, we got to pray for Mr. Andre Johnson as well. Yeah. You mean he's Johnsonless now? Like, as a dude, I don't see a full life without my Johnson. Just as a guy, like in Christ, I can do all things, so I'm not tripping. But as this is a human being, male,
uh-huh.
That reproductive system plays a major role in our masculinities. Uh-huh. Plays a major role. And I would like to be buried with mine attached and working like the rest of my body's working. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
Now, you thought that was interesting. Check this story out. This is the last one. Teen arrested with loaded gun in vagina.
Oh, okay. Continue.
Okay. Cops say a Tennessee teen who got arrested for driving with a suspended license on Monday had a surprise in store for police. When a female corrections officer at Kingsport Jail performed a search on the 19-year-old, Dallas Archer, she allegedly discovered an unknown object lodged in the young woman's crotch. Hmm. She alerted another female who accompanied her during further examination, according to the documents obtained by the newspaper. The officers allegedly discovered a loaded 5-shot, 4-inch, .22 caliber mini revolver concealed in Archer's vagina. It turns out that the gun was stolen last year when John Souther's car was ransacked in an auto burglary. Souther, a 70-year-old woman, old retired car salesperson, told TSG that he'd make sure to give his stolen little fella a bath and bleach. Archer was charged with gun possessions and introducing contraband into a penal facility and was later released on $6,000 bond. Now, this goes on and saying this isn't the first time someone's allegedly been caught with a gun concealed in their, you know, regions. Last year, an Oklahoma woman was arrested with a loaded 5-shot revolver sticking out of her vagina. It was seen to be a very dangerous place to carry a loaded firearm. That's what I'm
thinking. Uh-huh. Right. Right.
Now, that woman, Christy Harris, also had 2 bags of what turned out to be hidden in baggies in her butt.
Oh.
Methamphetamine. I can't never pronounce that correct word. But, now, my thing is, Pause for the calls.
Come on.
Now, what happens if, what happens if that thing goes off and you send
that? Mm-hmm.
They kick back on it. You know they can have a kickback.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm not going to go into that. But I just want to let you guys know that there's some weird things going on out here in this world. So you better strap up with your BIBLE, your basic instructions before leaving Earth. So on that note, we're going to go into Lecrae, Free From It All.
Yes, please.
On September 10th.
But should I fall?
Take a photo op. None of it's real, it's just Photoshop. Crop out my flaws and my failures, my aches and all my ailments. And now I'm picture perfect, take all my dirt and conceal it. Really, I'm no better than any, but they pay me a pretty penny to sit and look pretty. Not too big, not too skinny. Be whatever these fans demand of me, cause otherwise they probably wouldn't love me. The show goes on even after the curtains close. I smile and pose, put my signature on it close. They lift me up so high that I'm surely about to fall. The higher that I go, the more unforgiving they are. No grace and no exceptions. All they want is perfection. The man in the mirror can't even see his reflection. You live for their acceptance. You die from their rejection. But even if I fall, I fell in the right direction. Yeah.
Can I slide? The curtain pull. Credits roll down.
listen to everyone's approval. Fight for acceptance and struggle so you don't ever lose it. But living for their acceptance has got to stress it. Insecure people obsessed with leaving impressions. Ladies spending time on their faces, painting pretty lines. To you and me it's makeup, to her it's a disguise. You look her in the eyes and see her soul cry. Cause living for other people's gotta live in a lie. Hadn't slept in a day, closed his eyes and he prayed. Someone would miss him if he fell like a star out of space. But I'm sure they replace him, just a name and a face. They say they love you, but it's easy to fall from the graces. Live for everyone else, got you losing yourself. Why be a slave when you were made to be free from the guilt? To be free from the shame, you are more than a name. If you go down, you got the freedom to get up again.
That track is hard.
What we're gonna do? Let's hit him with. I want to hit him with something special, because you have been away for a while. And ladies and gentlemen, before we get into talking about what Lace has been up to, let's get into a little soul therapy, because after reading these stories, I mean, like, yeah, it's we need some soul therapy. So let's get into soul therapy, and we're going to come back to the magnificent thing.
Now I got cuffs on my wrist like they bracelets. The pain on my mama's face, I can't take it. But it took this to understand pain. The guy sitting by me, yeah, he's covered up in stains. Sat it up, he's slaying dope to maintain. And his daddy wasn't there to teach him how to be a man. Raised by the streets, taught by the boys. Molested at 10, so he think he's Satan's toys. He struggles with his sex while he tries to look tough. He runs from his life, so he drinks and smokes blunt. Please tell him what to do, like this is you. He's lost in the lies cause he wasn't taught the truth. Young man, I know your life is looking wild, but it's time to raise up cause you still got a child.
You can judge me.
Lord, lead the way. It took a whole year to come up with this wordplay. It took broken hearts for babies to learn to pray. It's sad, it takes pain to follow what God say. 16, posting pictures for love. All she wanted from her daddy was an intimate hug. But she never got it, so she went to the thugs. But even they mistreat her body, now she thinks like a bruh.
Lay it down, that's what I'm good for.
That's what she says after sex, walking through the dust. Baby girl, you a daughter of the Most High God. Yeah, you're worth it.
I can hear Jesus Christ saying, come to me. The point of the song, yeah, they did wrong, but hold their hands, let them know they belong. In a place in our hearts where the love conquers all. We are still God's kids even after we fall.
Is soul therapy. Wow. I really love that track.
Glory to God. That's the baby.
Now you have been on a hiatus, and I think the public needs to know what's going on with me.
Oh, man. There's so much happening right now. So in the midst of production for a new stage play, it's called He's the Best I've Ever Seen. In this play, I actually love my role, love my character. I will be portraying Jesus. It's not like the typical Jesus stage play. His life and death and resurrection is way outside of the box, but it's still biblical and lined up. So that's been a challenge for me dealing with timing everything. On another note, man, we are transitioning into the new single, man. This single here. If you love soul therapy, like Clap It Up is the name. I'm already releasing the name. It's Clap It Up. It's on a whole nother level. Like you're going to continue to see my growth. It's on another platform as well. I mean, soul therapy is on one end, but Clap It Up is on the whole different end of the spectrum. But it's live, it's upbeat, it's up-tempo. I mean, it's really dope. I'm dropping it on the same day as the music video, so I'm hoping to have everything out for you guys within the next month. So, but we'll see how it goes. You know, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes to get that right. So,
when is the play going up?
The play is next month as well. So my little hiatus is about to come to an end. The play is coming out next month. We haven't openly declared it yet. Everybody that's in the cast, we know the date. But we don't want to put anything out there because there has been a lot of ups and downs dealing with production. But everyone will know as far as the first week of May once we continue forward, as long as we have that go ahead. We're comfortable with everything in production-wise. But, I mean, pretty much that's the major thing that I can talk about. I can't really say what other things, what other projects, things that I've been invited to be a part of, what else I'm working on. Because I want to tackle one thing at a time. So as of right now, what you have to expect is the new play, He's the Best I've Ever Seen, which is coming up. It was written by Todd Hall, and the new single. You know, it's no features, it's straight up me. The production is amazing. I had dope producers on this. Just everything is next level. Music video, everything's next level. So got a lot to look forward to, a lot to look forward to. God is really moving, and I thank him for that.
And people have, I think entertainment is very hard.
Yes, it is.
It is very difficult because you have to balance, and it's not automatic.
Right.
You have to balance a lot. You know, you have to learn your lines. You think you have, and people are like, well, he knows his lines for his song because it's his song. But when you doing a lot of other things, you still have to, like, okay, what are the words in my song so I can do the video? Or the,
right.
You know, and then your regular, you know, your everyday life, you know, with you and your female or whatnot.
Right.
It's a lot.
Right.
It's not a nine to five at all.
Right. And the thing is, it's like, I'm learning this more and more too. Like every when I say pray for me, I truly mean it because it's not you see yourself going over like you know running your own business, running your own production company. You know my everything dealing with production, just doing things. You see yourself going into 365, 24 hours a day. Just it's not a 9-to-5. It's like it's your life. It's so much hard work into it and. Being over everything, it kind of tears you. I mean, you breaking it down like, okay, we got the video, then we actually got to rehearse for the song, and then we got events coming up, and then you talking about plays and learning your lines and everything. It's a pulling. And one of the lessons that I'm truly learning, that I have learned in this season, so as I'm getting ready to approach a new level in my life, that I'm going to prioritize better as far as, you know, every opportunity, even though it's good, it's prestigious, or it may take me to another level as far as gaining audience and stuff, whatever the case may be, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to focus primarily on, you know, where God has me, who God is calling me to be, focusing on the strengths and where I am to grow at. You know, I mean, it's cool branching out the umbrella. I mean, it's dope, but behind scenes, it's like, my life has been pulled in so many directions to where it's like, okay, all right, I'm not as effective in this particular area as I used to be or I could be. So it's like, it's cool. Like, a person, he's super duper talented at music, right? And then next thing you know, but he's also creative and talented. So he gets invited to start doing plays, and he also starts to get invited to host meetings and seminars, and then he also gets invited to babysit because he's good with kids, and he's also become the leader at a church, or like he's really good in all these areas and he's strong in all these areas, but now because he's so spread out, his one main focus, he's no longer as effective because all his time is spread out now. So I'm understanding more I look at some things, and I'm like, yo, if I had put more time in this one area, I would have so much more done, and I would have much more free time, or I have more time to rest, or I could pull away here, or I can add more, or I can contribute more in the area of my focus. So it's, you know, in this season I'm getting ready to come into, I know this is good for someone too, that just learning when to say no. Learning when to not put your hand out, or learning when to stop working so hard and to pull back and to rest, or to stay on one track. You know, it's cool, and I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to abandoning any of the other areas that God has blessed me with a talent in, or that I'm starting to grow in or whatever. Not that I'm abandoning it, but now I have the realization that sometimes you just got to pull away. Sometimes just focus on your area, strengthen that, because you can be so much further. Like a running back doesn't practice being a defensive lineman, or, you know, a basketball player who plays point guard, he doesn't practice being a center. He might have the talent of posting people up, but his primary objective is to be a better ball handler, to be a better shooter, to play good defense on a perimeter. You know, he knows his focus thing. So, like I said, for me, I'm good at acting. I mean, it's cool. I'm growing in it, and I have potential to go far in it possibly, but I'm going to focus primarily on the areas that God has called me to administer, and that's, you know, that's in the Bible, and, you know, really grinding that out, lyrically grinding that out, performance-wise grinding that out, you know, and all the things that fall into suit, but that's just something that I'm learning personally, to not be so spread out, because you're not as effective. Like, I could be much more dangerous in certain areas, but I'm so spread out. It's like, what's the use of having five me's when I can have one strong me instead of having five medium me's? I'd rather have one strong me that's powerful instead of five medium me's that's doing okay.
Absolutely. Before we go farther, I guess you just got some information in about, you know, how we were talking about Donald Sterling earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This I did not know this.
Mm-hmm.
But he was scheduled on May 15th, to for the NAACP Awards. Yeah, it says at May 15th, real quick, at May 15th banquet for the Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP, this became a lot more intriguing. The group is was planning to honor the LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling with a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Mm.
This is the 100th anniversary of the LA chapter.
Mm.
Now, but in light of his comments, they're going to be changing.
Wow.
Now, this is saying a lot. I know we're kind of going back. This is saying a lot for the NAACP to even recognize this guy for an achievement. You know what I mean? Lifetime achievement. You know what?
Mm.
Everything happens for a reason. And what if what if that May 15th came, he got the award, and then this would have came out?
Right.
Wow. Mm. Wow. I'm sorry. I saw it come across, and I was like, I wanted to mention this to people. Yeah. Wow. But I digress.
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're working in this field, memorization is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I do it all the time because, you know, doing stand-up comedy, I have my routine, things of that nature. I'm not a storyteller, so with storytelling, you can kind of easily remember quick bullets. You know, like, okay, I'm talking about houses, cars,
yeah,
pastors, this, and then you can just from that outline, you can go on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with me, I'm a one-liner guy, so I have more to remember.
Yeah.
Although I wrote it, it's mine, it's still a lot to remember. People, like at work, like, how come you can't remember that you wrote it? Well, when you have a lot that you wrote, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you have to remember that.
Right.
And not deliver it robotically, deliver it in a comfortable setting. So.
Yes.
And that's the main thing also with plays. You got a lot to remember. Just because once you get it all in, I did a play last week, or the week before last, and I played a Roman soldier, but it was three of us, we did our separate monologues, and I got it at the last minute, but I digested it, and people liked my performance, but had I had it longer, the performance would have been that much better.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because, you know, I was able to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying I had it down pat.
Right. Right.
You know, you can work with something to make it work, and you know, oh, man, that was great. But if you think that was great, just think if I had that 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks
yeah.
prior.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can do it's so much more that you can do with your dialogue when you know the stuff down pat. If it's just, okay, I got to memorize. It's just like when you first learn your ABCs. You didn't
mm-hmm.
go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, P, or you didn't go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, you see how I can just go
right.
up and down. But when you first learned it, you was like A, B, C. Okay, wait, I got them now. A, B, C. You know what I'm saying? So you progress, but once you know it, you can flip it any way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, big ups to you, man. Accepting that challenging role.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Playing Jesus and outside of the box type character.
Right.
Too, you know, so wish you the best of luck on that project. Now, we have, what, 6 minutes, well, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, well, 7 minutes left. I'm looking at my time. My time is different than what it says here. 6 minutes. Okay.
Six minutes.
Yeah. So, our words live by.
All right. I wanted to get into, you know, what else you had going on, but yeah, our time is pressed. So, the words to live by, huh?
I gotta get real quick. Things I'm doing. The play is To Depth Was Part. It's dealing with autism and relationships. That's coming along fine. I have a great cast with that.
Right.
The Fine and Chris play, we still getting booked for that. So we doing some major things with that production. And then plus I'm doing my stand-up comedy. So
yeah,
God is good.
All the time. And all the time?
God is good.
There you go. All right, so our scripture today, it actually it comes from Romans 8:28, and my pastor actually preached on this today, and it was phenomenal. The scripture reads, it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." The things that are key are, it says that we know that all things, so that's when you're talking about all, we're talking about every individual detailed. Anything that happens in your life, every single small thing. You lost your keys, and then you found your keys, and then you left your dinner, or you got to work late, and you got to work late, and you bumped into your coworker, and your coworker was crying, and then you know, all of these little details, they work together for the good. And the thing that's really crucial in this, it says for the good. It says for good. It doesn't say you're good. So it's the greater good. It's talking about, like, overall, it's something bigger that's being worked out in us. This is, a perfect plan that God has put together. So I'll share the scripture more so for encouragement for the week and for the rest of your life. So always just keep in mind that every single thing that God is doing for all those who love God, who are truly committed. Not I feel like I love God, or I'm so crazy about him, but tomorrow I don't like God because he didn't give my blessings. I'm talking about committed to God through thick and thin. You love him, worship, serve him, and adore him. Just know that it's working in your favor. Everything's working in our favor. It's the greater good. Every single detail. I mean, we talk about it so often on the show how if it wasn't for the fact that I lost my keys and it took me an extra 10 minutes to find my keys, and when I got on the road, I drove by this accident on the road, that could have been me if I would have found my keys 10 minutes earlier. I mean, that's a small thing that we're talking about, but you got bigger things like the very fact that I was homeless. That homelessness, what it worked up in me, it gave me the courage to be bold in God and to help my brothers and sisters who are homeless, or to help my brothers and sisters who are less fortunate. That was a greater good working because it changed my mind. And the people I encountered in the process of being homeless, it changed their minds. It was a lot of greater good working. So good times, bad times, the little seconds, like we may not, while we're going through something, we might not realize it, but when you look back or once you go forward and you get a chance to really see that God really works something out, he's always working, he's always moving. So every little detail of your life, just know God is strategically on the throne. He has not been removed from the throne. He knows what he's doing, and everything is working in our favor, every single thing. So we have to be confident to boast and praise God through it all. Because he's in control, and if he allowed it, it's a good thing.
You know what? And that's absolutely, absolutely correct. When he, God is a good God. He's great and everlasting. And everything that happens has a purpose. Realize it or not. Each move that you make in your life dictates what that next move is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you have something that you fall into, he always have a way out. You just have to be willing to take that way out.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had a great time with you guys. It started off rough, but we got it. We'll see you guys next week with more of this interesting stuff that's going on in the world. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And this is the Covenant Cafe. You guys have a great night. And we're going to go out.
star. I had a dream, I was focused as a hoop star. Now I got cuffs on my wrist like they bracelets. The pain on my mama's face, I can't take it. But it took this to understand pain. The guy sitting by me, yeah, he's covered up in stains. Sat it up, he slain dope to maintain. And his daddy wasn't there to teach him how to be a man. Raised by the streets, taught by the boys. Molested at 10, so he think he's Satan's toys. He struggles with his sex while he tries to look tough. He runs from his life, so he drinks and smokes blunt. Please tell him what to do, like this is you. He's lost in the lies cause he wasn't taught the truth. Young man, I know your life is looking wild, but it's time to raise up cause you still got a child.
You can't judge me.
Lord, lead the way. It took a whole year to come up with this wordplay. It took broken hearts for babies to learn to pray. It's sad, it takes pain to follow what God say. 16, posting pictures for love. All she wanted from her daddy was an intimate hug. But she never got it, so she went to the thugs. But even they mistreat her body, now she thinks like a rug.
Now you're done, that's what I'm good for.
It's what she says after sex, walking through the dumpster.